Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashutosh Somani from JM Financial Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Operator, and welcome everyone to the call. I will first thank Welspun Specialty Solutions for giving JM Financial Institutional Securities the opportunity to host today's call. So without much ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Salil Bawa, Head Investor Relations for Welspun Group, to introduce the management. Over to you, Salil.
Thank you, Anirudh, and good afternoon to all of you. On behalf of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q4 FY25 results earnings call. Along with me today, we have Mr. Anuj Buraki, who's the Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director. I have Mr. Navin Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer for Welspun Specialty Solutions. I have Mr. Percy Birdy, who's the Chief Financial Officer for Welspun Corp, and Mr. Gautam Chakraborty, who heads Investor Relations for Welspun Corp. We hope you have had a chance to review the investor presentation that was filed with the exchanges, and the same is also available on our website. During today's discussion, we may be making references to this presentation and would request you to take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in the presentation. As usual, we will start the forum with opening remarks by the leadership team, and then we will open the floor for your questions. Once the call gets over, should you have any further queries that remain unanswered, please feel free to reach to Gautam or myself or any one of us. With that, I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Anuj Buraki. Over to you, Anuj.
Thank you, Salil. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the Quarter 4 and Financial Year 25 earnings call of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. First, I'll briefly talk about the global macroeconomic environment, our industry scenario, and the company's performance before we dive into an interactive session. The global macroeconomic situation remained cautious owing to continued geopolitical situations, stroke events, and further intensified after the tariff announcements by the U.S. government. The tariff action led to severe trade tensions globally and brought about a flurry of counter-duty announcements and protectionist measures by various countries. Recognizing the scenario and highlighting uncertainty, the IMF has cut its global growth forecast for 2025 and 2026. Against the earlier projections of about 3.3%, IMF now predicts global GDP growth for 2025 at 2.8% and for 2026 at 3%. For the advanced economies, the growth projections revised down to 1.4%, primarily led by a sharp downward revision of U.S. GDP growth by 0.9% to now 1.8% for 2025. For the emerging economies, also GDP growth forecast revised down to 3.7% and 3.9% respectively for year 2025 and 2026. For India, the growth forecast is now revised down to 6.2% and 6.3% for the two years 2025 and 2026 from earlier estimate of 6.5% for both the years. Reserve Bank of India, meanwhile, in its latest announcement, has projected real GDP growth at 6.5% from the earlier projection of 6.7% on account of global trade volatility and policy uncertainties. The events can be categorized as significant and brought about caution with respect to buying and optimum inventory management, especially with large stockholders of special materials. This led to slowness in demand in the global markets and pressure on pricing. However, at Welspun, we continue to engage with all our customers, domestic as well as overseas, to manage these ongoing uncertainties and instability in the best possible manner. In this backdrop, discussing our financials for the quarter ended March 25, total income grew by about 33% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 209 crores. The EBITDA income rose by 5% year-on-year and 39% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 18.1 crores. The company's performance continues to improve on the back of focus on strategic business segments. For financial year 25, total income stood at about 750 crores with an EBITDA of rupees 56 crores. SS Steel Products sales volume during this period stood at about 19,000 tons, while tube volume stood at about 4,800 tons. The order book of company at the end of financial year 25 stood at about 7,000 tons, valued at about 334 crores. As we have been consistently maintaining, I wish to reiterate our sharp focus on domestic Indian market, which has remained quite resilient, steadily growing and presenting significant opportunities in value segments of energy, space, defense, power gen, oil and gas, and engineering, etc. Government's continued spending on these strategic sectors, coupled with domestic value addition policies like Make in India, is creating clear demand thrust in the country. The growth spent is expected to continue and may increase further in times to come. In this scenario, an integrated special steel and seamless tube player like us and offering end-to-end integrated product solutions will certainly have incredible opportunities coming our way. Friends, I am pleased to share that continued focus of our technical and marketing teams on development of new products and grades alongside expansion of customer base has further strengthened our product range, capabilities and market offerings during financial year 25. After felicitation by Ministry of Heavy Industry during BHEL Samvad 4 for developing Super 304H NT91 tubes for supercritical power plants, I am pleased to share that the company successfully received about 4,000 tons of tube order from BHEL after participating in the competitive bidding process. This is the highest value business as of date for the company, and which is being produced in a fully integrated manner under one roof. This definitely reinforces company's position and standing when it comes to demanding and critical applications of stainless steel seamless tubes. Talking about some of the key accreditations and product developments carried out during this period, the company successfully passed the stringent AS9100D accreditation audit, which certification will open opportunities for us in the aerospace applications. The recommendation letter has already been received and formal certification will follow very soon. Grade T91 first tube order successfully booked, marking a key step towards establishing a regular business in this another high potential segment. Welsonic 60, a new high value grade produced and delivered, adding to WSSL's premium alloy portfolio. Super 13 Chrome for oil well applications, first order booked, produced and delivered successfully during the quarter, opening new avenues in this sector as well. Our exploratory initiatives in new geographies have also begun to yield results, with maiden steel bar orders booked from South Africa. Friends, the company could reduce emission intensity by about 12% during financial year 25 compared to financial year 24. Share of renewable energy improved to 31% of our total electricity consumption in financial year 25 as compared to 28% during the previous year. Our new solar subscription is going to commence supplies during quarter one of this year, which will enable our share of renewable electricity to go as high as 70%. This will not only be efficient on energy cost, but also reinforces our position significantly with respect to carbon taxes contemplated by various countries in the near future. During the year, the company got certified as Great Place to Work, signifying our focus on people, our greatest asset. Towards the end of the year, the company could successfully conclude its rights issue of ₹350 crores, which received an oversubscription to the tune of about 3.4%. As per the stated objectives, the proceeds are being utilized for deleveraging the balance sheet, upgradation and debottlenecking of equipment and processes, etc. Friends, these initiatives will not only help improve the operational performance and product quality, but are also expected to drive cash flow efficiency, better working capital management, and boost overall profitability and return on capital. While the external environment may not be entirely conducive, we continue to remain optimistic about WSSL's path forward, focusing on our core competencies, that is, integrated and value-added solutions, development of new products, strong customer relationships, and expanded customer base. So with this, we kindly open the floor for your questions. Thank you.
Anushka, can you...
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll start. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sailesh Raja from BK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, Sailesh-ji. Thanks for coming on this call.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, in the current challenging macro environment, we were able to sell approximately 4,800 metric tons of stainless steel pipes in FY25. With the DHEL order of 4,000 metric tons slated for full execution in FY26, and also additional volume expected from this Valsonic 60 and super cutting CR grades, would it be reasonable to expect sales exceeding 7,000 tons in FY26?
So, Sailesh-ji, it's a very good question, and in fact, that is something which is very, very high on our agenda, that is to increase our utilization of capacity. I think we are certainly going to witness the growth in our volumes in this year. And I would also like to inform the audience here that in this current year, in fact, in quarter one, we are also going to have a three-week, once in a four-year maintenance in pipe plant, which is a pre-scheduled maintenance, and we are going to still maintain our volume in quarter one in line with the previous quarters. And for the whole year, we are certainly looking at improving our volume by anything between 25 to 30%.
Okay. So just to confirm, this entire DHL order will be executed in FY26, correct?
Yeah, of course, because the delivery timelines are anyway, going to be over within this financial year. So it has to be anyway delivered within this year.
Okay. So my second question on power costs. So power costs currently accounts for 9% of total sales. it is major conversion cost for us. So could you help us understand the total power units required for the SMS unit and subsequently convert bots into pipes, how much units is required? And today, what portion of power cost is fixed cost? And with increasing production volumes and the planned rise in renewable energy share from 30% to 40% in next 2 years, so what level of cost saving do you anticipate?
The overall, not just power, but let's say the overall power and fuel cost for us is typically around anything between 8 to 10% depending on, you know, the kind of products that we are making. Like for smaller tubes, you know, it requires, the tonnage remains the same, but multiple rounds of heat treatment, and that's reflected in the price. But then, you know, on the power cost or the gas cost, it increases. So now, you know, important is to look at, you know, our progression from, let's say, if you look at the last year, we were at almost, you know, on an average about 30,000 rupees a ton of total power and fuel cost, which has improved by about 10% this year. So quarter on quarter, if we see, you know, we see an improvement by about 15%. So I think, you know, the capacity utilization is the key. And as we see a better capacity utilization, we are also seeing that, you know, overall power cost and fuel cost is coming down. And as I said during my remarks that, you know, in financial year 26, we are also going to increase our, you know, solar power in the overall scheme of our power. So that will also bring, you know, improvement in the cost overall power average.
How much units is required, sir, in the SMS plant and in pipes? Total number of units?
Well, I think I don't have a total in front of me, but let's say I can tell you that on, you know, on a unit basis, direct production power, we are in line with, you know, any, let's say, you know, the global standards. It is that auxiliary power wherein, you know, when you are not utilizing the plant to the tune of 80-90%, and which is the case with us, I mean, that definitely has some, you know, 0.2% or 0.2 to 0.5% of, you know, that that efficiency which can be brought in by way of increased utilization.
Okay. My next question is, if you total domestic stainless steel seamless pipe, the market is estimated at around 80,000 to 1 lakh tons. So which is currently fully met through domestic sources?
If I heard you correctly, you mean the domestic, the market size of 80 to 100,000 tons is completely met by the domestic players. Is that the question?
Correct.
Yes, you are right. You see, the major influx of pipes that were happening in India, especially seamless in stainless steel, was happening from China. 2 years back, or little over 2 years back, the anti-dumping was imposed on China as a seamless pipe. After that, it got reduced quite a lot. Yes, there is still some import which is happening under the advanced license for, you know, processing in the country and then exporting to the other countries. So to that extent, that is not the consumption of India. So what you said is correct, that whatever is getting consumed in India is primarily being, you know, catered to by the Indian producers.
Okay. Sir, other market share is below 5%. Given the current challenges in international market, the domestic market is expected to be our key focus area. So what strategic initiative that we are taking to grow our presence in domestic market, and what is our current strength of our marketing and sales team, and how many additional personnel would be required to reach optimal utilization?
So first of all, Shailaji, why we have focused on India is for two reasons. We are very close, you know, to the ground here. We know what's happening in the country. And secondly, the country is really taking leaps, you know, into infrastructure spend. When I say infrastructure, it includes all kinds, whether it is energy, whether it is oil and gas, whether it is defense, whether it is, you know, space or, you know, general public infrastructure. So we see a huge opportunity, as you also would have heard in the remarks, and you are already aware that the GDP growth that's being projected in India is much, much higher than, you know, wherever in any other country that you see, especially the developed economy. So naturally our focus is there in India. And to address, you see, as I was mentioning before also, our strength, you know, in this setup is being integrated and providing end-to-end solution, you know, from scrap to the final tube. And similarly on, you know, steel side, producing those critical grades, you know, in under one roof, in various forms. So having that capability, I think wherever there is such a requirement coming in any of the government projects wherein, you know, you need customized solution, so we are there. And so one is our inherent capability by way of our setup. The second is our teams are very trained and tuned, you know, to these kind of specialty applications. They come from various streams, both technical teams as well as, you know, the team, the marketing team. So I think we are very equipped and fully versed, and we are improving. I mean, on a day-to-day, I mean, I would not say that, you know, we are the best. We are improving on a daily basis. We are evolving.
You have previously highlighted that hot extrusion offers significant advantages over piercing. So within hot extrusion, there are two types, that is one is horizontal and vertical. I think we operate the vertical extrusion. Could you please elaborate on the unique USP of this vertical extrusion over horizontal and the customer preference between two, and the end application also? Could you please explain that in detail?
See, the customer is agnostic of vertical or horizontal, right? So at the end of the day, the product that comes out of both is an extruded product, and the customer is interested into an extruded product. Now, whether you do it standing or, you know, whether you do it sleeping doesn't, you know, really matters. When it comes to the press that we have, what we have noticed is that we certainly have some advantage, you know, when it comes to the eccentricity of the pipe. You see, that is something within the scheme of, you know, extruded product that we have this additional advantage, right? But I think, you know, too much of a emphasis on vertical horizontal is not something, you know, which is really worthwhile deliberating. But yes, between piercing and extrusion, there is a big difference, and that's where being on the extrusion route, we certainly have an edge.
Okay. But the capex cost per ton, is there any difference in horizontal and vertical, or is it the same?
Salaji, what happens is now, see, they used to only make vertical presses because that is where you get the best pipe. Now, when the presses started to become bigger, you know, the height of the buildings started to go so tall that they had to come out with a solution whereby they can have the same press, you know, in a horizontal mode. Because you can make longer buildings, but to go on a height is always, you know, a huge cost. And so, in a way, you can say that this was found like a solution, you know, to have an optimum civil cost. And that's why, you know, now we see that any new press, though there are not many being built, but whatever, you know, new presses are getting built, they are mostly horizontal.
Okay. So in current volume mix, what is the mix between standard SS rails and high-grade value-added, like 904L, duplex, super duplex, and electronic 16, super patent CR? So what is the volume mix, and how do you see this mix changing over the next 2-3 years?
You see, value add is not only on the grade, but also the size, application, and a lot of things. A simple 304 grade when you produce for nuclear could be a very, very high value for different reasons. Right? So, but in general, I can tell you that in last 3 years, what we have seen is our mix is enriching. Even if our volume on pipe remained the same as last year, but the enrichment has definitely happened. So as we progress, the idea is the whole of the capacity that we have on extrusion press be only utilized for, you know, very high value and high value. And I'm sure that we'll, you know, get to that stage, you know, within next 2 years. And now also we do quite a
significant... How do you differentiate this, sir, based on EBITDA per ton? How do you differentiate?
I think it's you know, too much of detail and difficult to really you know, answer in brief, but you know, with piercing, which we call normal value product or low value product, normally would be 15-20% lower price, you know, than a base peer extruded product. So that is where you know, the first value difference occurs. The second is the extruded products are mostly going into the applications which require fail-safe, you know, kind of feature. So anything going into very high temperature, very high pressure and corrosive environment is normally only extrusion. So that is why, you know, we call it high value.
Okay. Sir, one last question. Could you provide insights on this AS9100D for aerospace applications, specifically the typical timeline required to achieve the final certification and also the potential business opportunity it could open? Similarly, for NORSOK N650, which is not mentioned in this presentation, it was there in the last presentation, what would be the estimated addressable market for the company upon obtaining the necessary approval?
On AS9100D, it takes almost 9 months, you know, to really prepare and, you know, to graduate the systems in such a manner that the company is viewed capable of fulfilling the applications which goes into aerospace. Now, we have completed that journey, and within March, we had already received the recommendation letter, you know, from the accrediting agency that we have gone past. Normally, I mean, the certificates, they all come from Europe, from the head offices, and normally take some time. So we expect that to come maybe at most in May. You see, there are two kinds of markets. One is where the product is actually going into aerospace directly. And the second is, you know, most developed markets are being fed by large stockholders. Okay. Now, what happens is a stockholder would normally want to have all kinds of certification on one bar, you know, that they maintain in the stock, which means that they would prefer to buy from a company which can give them all certifications along with the bar, which means when he is stocking that bar or they are stocking that bar, if the application is for aerospace, also they can supply. If the application is for, let's say, marine, also they can supply. If the application is for oil and gas, also they can supply. So they don't need to keep three times the stock, you know, to meet three different applications. I hope you got my point, right? So one is with AS9100, our enablement happened whereby now we are able to address, you know, those customers who have this requirement and who sells into aerospace directly or through their stock management, keeping multiple certifications. The market size is good, I would say, and this becomes an enabler for us, you know, to open more stockholders accounts. Now on M650, it didn't come in the mention because we haven't received it as yet. The process is going on. A serious M650 certification, which is basically for North Sea applications, and Equinor is the creator of that. So it's a very tough one. A lot of documentation, audit process offline is going on. And currently we are at a stage that we can expect this process to be over maybe by end of this quarter one, at the most during middle of quarter two. This is our, you know, best estimate, we'll be able to complete it. Now, M650 is again a certification of capability or certificate of competence, which means that there are a lot of projects out there, especially in the North Sea, where a company could be a supplier only when they are qualified for, you know, M650 directly. The second is there are other projects which are actually not North Sea, but they use that certification as a matter of you know, competence. Like, for example, some MBA colleges in India would still take CATS course, you know. So,
yes.
Right, so indirectly also that certification talks of, you know, the high standards of quality and product quality and performance.
Hmm. So the supercutting CI can be substituted with N650?
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Sailesh, may I request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions,
yeah, okay,
as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Garji from Value Investments. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was that in the boiler tubes in FY25, so you have received total order for 5,450 metric tons. So out of this, since in previous quarter, you've also mentioned that some of it will be executed in 4Q. So how much of this has been executed in FY25, and how much of the current order book is coming from boiler tubes in terms of volumes?
So Gazi, whatever we executed, you know, incidentally, there are a few projects on boiler tubes that we received in the last year, and they were mix of grades. And except this, the last one that we announced, which was the major one, about 4,000 tons. I think the rest of the quantities all got delivered, you know, during the last year, which could be a mix of between quarter two to quarter four. But yes, quarter four had, I would say, out of three quarters, the maximum quantity in proportion. The currently what we have is the last one, which is one big one, and which is to be executed during FY26. So, was I able to address your query?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, out of the current order book, we would have around 4,000 metric tons of boiler tubes out of the 7,200 tons of order book.
See, that is first of all the order at hand, you know, currently.
Oh.
So, I cannot say that in future we will not have more. We may have more. And we are working on a lot of projects because whatever we end up booking, take an example in, you know, maybe after 2 months, 3 months time, we still need to keep our order book healthy, and you know, some of it may get executed even in next year. So, but yes, in this particular year, we will have a good proportion of you know, boiler tubes getting delivered.
Okay. So second question was with respect to the industry. How much of the orders in boiler tubes have been tendered till now in FY25 in India? And out of those orders that are being tendered, how much of it have you won? So basically, I wanted to understand boiler tubes, what would be the kind of market share? Because you mentioned in previous calls that this is an import substitute product. So, just wanted to understand annually, still out of the total orders that are being tendered, are there any orders going to any other players?
So, of course, the other players will also book the business because we have limited capacity, right? We cannot do it all. The overall boiler tube, what we anticipate, you know, from the plans of total power gen construction that is going to happen in next 7 years, which has been revised from 80 gigawatt to 100 gigawatt, by the way, very recently. So, only in stainless steel segment, if we talk about, we are looking at something like anything between 15 to 20,000 tons of tube requirement every year. And that, of course, cannot be met by one particular company, so will be taken by others as well. In last year, as you asked, if I would remember correctly, I think a total of some 10,000 tons got tendered. And out of 10,000 tons, we ended up booking, I would say, about 6,000 tons. And the rest, 4,000, would have gone to different companies. And which will be the case, you know, this year as well. So this business will continue. I mean, this will continue for a few years, at least, like. And that's what will also help, you know, loading all the companies, including us.
So, sir, since you are the only company who has the certification from GLNTPC to make these boiler tubes, so is it fair to assume that the 4,000 tons is going to is being catered by imports? And also, if yes, then at what realizations and from which countries are those imports coming from?
No. So, first of all, let me correct you here. We are not the only company approved, right? We were the first ones to develop in India, and right from steel making, you know, to the final tubes end to end, and for which the company received a very you know, strong felicitation. But there are other, and you know, technically speaking, the other seamless mills can also produce this, and we are also authorized to sell steel bars, you know, to these other mills, other seamless mills who would want to produce, and we are going to do that, right? So whatever pipe business we are not booking, if somebody else books, other mill books, we will supply the bars to them, right? So this is, since we are integrated and we have steel as well as tubes, but others are going to get, for sure. We cannot feed everybody or every power plant.
So who are the other players?
I mean, all good players in the country. I mean, I not know as to every single name that has that will supply. But yeah, I mean, the big ones like Ratnamani, Jindal, Tubasex, I think, you know, they are approved and they will supply.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. My third question was that, so what is the bid book size? And is there any increasing trend that you are witnessing in the bid book size compared to previous trend of 100 crores that you have stated in previous calls? And also recently, Mega Engineering got orders from National Thermal Corporation of India. So are you expecting to receive those orders from Mega Engineering if they are tendering it? And usually, how long does it take for orders to flow from the EPC players like GAIL and Mega to your order book?
See, normally, I'll start the other way around. Normally, once any EPC contractor books the order for building a whole power unit, would quickly try to go for the process of ordering the tubes, because these are supposed to be the longest lead. And especially in a scenario where the requirement is very high and, you know, the players are gearing up actually to meet that kind of a requirement. That is quite fast. And the first thing that you asked was whether we expect more orders from NTPC, right? Is that what you...
Yes, sir.
No, so you see, NTPC is one of the owners of power installation, and there could be other owners going forward. Adani is one of the owners. I don't know if Reliance would come into play, and there are going to be more, because government is also working to see that how this 100 gigawatt that they wish to install over next 7 to 10 years, not everything perhaps would be invested by NTPC. They also would have limitations. So there will be more players coming in. And but at the end of the day, for us, it's whether the customer is BHEL, whether the customer is L&T, for example, you know, for us doesn't make a difference. Till such time there is the asset creation happening, till such time there is demand in the country, you know, we will continue to have the opportunity of booking such businesses.
Ms. Gachi. Hello, Ms. Gachi.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn.
Sure, sure. I just wanted to thank you, sir, for answering all the questions in detail.
Thank you.
All the best.
The next question is from the line of Sarah from UVR Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have a few questions. So in SS Bars, how fast can we fill the capacity of 70 to 80,000 metric tons? And what is the domestic business opportunity size in this, since the overseas markets is weak?
Good afternoon, Sarah. So, well, so 70 to 80,000 tons in steel bars, okay, let me put it this way. It may not be really difficult to fill that kind of a capacity, really, if you ask me. But the question is whether the business is meaningful or not, right? So in every product line, whether it is stainless steel or carbon steel, you know, depending on the setup, depending on a size range, depending on the capability, overall setup, you know, it considers so many things. You will always have a certain product range which suits the setup. Right, and anything beyond that would be either not in your manufacturing capability, or something on the other side could be where it will not be feasible or viable, you know, when if you try to produce it in your facility. So if we talk of meaningful business, then yes, it's a progression which is happening progressively. I think we shared before also that over next 2 years, we certainly expect a very significant, uptick in our utilization. We could have done better, but very openly, let me express this, that, you know, last 2 years had been really, really challenging for the entire industry, wherein the demand was tepid. Things were not, you know, really on a growth path. In fact, the prices were coming down, and, you know, so while we could not get, you know, that market tailwind, but we utilized this time into, you know, upgrading our own capabilities by so many new products, right? And whatever, you know, in the given reverse market scenario, we could increase our volumes, our capacity utilization to some extent. And we continue to focus, because it requires a lot of approvals, you know, customer approvals, customer validation. After the approval, also some trial supplies, and then second round of supplies. So all that happens. So in a meaningful way, you know, we want to increase our utilization. And I think in next 2 years, we will see a, you know, big difference over there.
Okay, sir. So for 1 lakh metric ton of SS pipes, we need 1.3 lakh metric ton of SS bars. So who are the other suppliers in these bars?
So 1 lakh ton pipe is a mix of piercing as well as extrusion. Okay?
Okay.
Piercing, normally the process is such that they utilize more of a smaller diameter bars, a large chunk of which is less than 100 millimeters. So I can say that there are few credible players who have the supply range going up to 100-120 millimeter, and they produce reasonably good quality bars. So there are 5-6 players in stainless steel who are producing for piercing. We also do. I mean, we can always do those sizes, and we can do bigger sizes as well. But when it comes to the extrusion, which requires mostly bigger size bars, starting above 100 and maybe going up to 250 or something. So there we are definitely supplying for sure. And I think there are one or two more companies who are doing, you know, these sizes.
Sir, can you name, like, in piercing few players and extrusion process few players who are supplying the bars?
Not listed players, not many listed players are there. I mean, you have companies like Flexcon, Avtar, Ambika, they are not listed. But yes, Viraj is a big name, though they are not listed, but you know, people in the industry know. So they are one of the suppliers. Mukund is listed. Mukund also does.
Okay. All right, sir. So like you mentioned that aerospace has a huge opportunity size for that product of AS9100D. Can you tell it in terms of volume terms and like domestic market size? And also, does anyone else has the certification in India? And like just like boiler tube is import substituted, so can this also be import substituted product? And what are the EBITDA per metric ton in this particular product?
So, Sarah, it's not about EBITDA per ton, because this certification is something that, you know, the company is capable of maintaining the quality standards that are expected in the aerospace application, right? This is a certification only about that. Now, aerospace also uses a host of different grades. So, every grade will have different kind of margin, different kind of pricing, different kind of application, right? So, it's not just one one product which makes it into AS9100. The second is import substitution is not so much of a case here, because mostly this certification, so let's say for the Indian companies, the certification is more useful for the export markets. So I can tell you that AS9100 is very popular in UK market, US, Singapore, some of Southeast Asia, other locations. And as I was mentioning in one of the earlier responses, that it is not only the direct sales into aerospace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it opens up those customers who are not prepared to look at your company, because you are not giving giving them this certificate, you know, with the product in the bunch.
Correct.
So, you know, that opens up for us.
Okay, sir. And sir, in this in the presentation you mentioned grade C.
Ms. Sara.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, I'll join back with you. Thank you for answering the question, sir.
Thank you. Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Jignesh from Jiva Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah. Hello, I'm audible?
Yes, Jignesh, bilkul. You're audible.
So, sir, as you mentioned that the last 2 years were very difficult for the industry, and now since we are done with our right issues and the debt is also gone, so just wanted to understand your 3 to 5 years horizon. What kind of, maybe you don't know the pricing, but can we expect 30 to 40% kind of CAGR growth that we can look at for 2030 in terms of revenue?
If you ask me, Jignesh, that's definitely the potential in the company. I'm not saying 30%. Now, it could be 25, it could be 20, but yes, there is a clear potential of hitting this kind of a CAGR in the company. To actually achieve that, a lot of work has to be done. On our side, you know, we have our strategy in place and we are doing it. And I'm sure that, you know, with a slowdown of 1, 2 years, 3 years, eventually things come back to normal. And, you know, when that starts, you know, you are in a steady state market, then actualization of the efforts, you know, really start becoming fast, right? So currently what is happening in the company is that the competence building exercise has been done in a very good way in last 2 years, right? And we continue to do it in terms of products, in terms of geographies. You know, you are going and selling into a market, maybe there are 10 potential customers, but currently we are selling to 3 or 4 of them, right? When the market improves,
right,
then obviously, you know, in the same market where people are seeing our product, but currently not starting to buy because the requirements are lower and, you know, people don't want to change the supplier in a passive situation like this. So I think a lot is, you know, getting prepared, you know, that future, for the future leap when the market situation is better.
So now going forward on a steady state basis, if we have even our operating profit of around 5% or so, if there is no more improvement, still we will save around 50 crores in terms of interest, or 40, 45 crores going forward?
I don't think that much, because that would have been possible if we were paying very, very bad interest rates. So our interest rates had been really good earlier also, and we have paid all the debt, as you could see on the balance sheet.
Yeah.
You know, the debt has been paid. I mean, roughly I can say our interest cost would definitely reduce by early 20s.
Oh, okay.
About
okay.
22, 23 crores something. Yeah.
Sir, I'm not aware of the proper dynamics. So, in terms of the diameter-wise, till what diameter are we in pipe segments to compare with any other listed players, if you could explain?
So we produce up to 6-inch diameter. The smaller size, we can go up to 3 millimeter also. We are supplying to some of the strategic customers. But on the higher side, it's 6-inch.
Okay. So understand better, any competitor in the listed space is also into similar kind of dia?
Yes, Ratnamani is a known company, listed, and they have the latest press that they installed a few years back can do, I believe, up to 10 inch.
Oh, even I think Venus pipe, if I'm not wrong.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Edwillis Public Alternatives. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. This is Prolin from Edelweiss Public Alternatives. A couple of questions from my end, sir. One is on capacity utilization. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, Prolin. Please go ahead.
Yeah, great. Okay. So just on capacity utilization, sir, right? So if I'm not wrong, your capacity in bars is close to what, 1 lakh tons, and pipes is 10,000 tons. Am I getting it correct? The number?
Yes. You see. The crude liquid metal capacity that we have is approximately 100,000 tons. And assuming that we continue to use the process that we are using, though of course we have another process of electric arc furnace wherein we can increase, but that's not there on the agenda right now. So we'll stick to the current process, which is 100,000 tons. Now, that amount of liquid metal actually will generate at the end of the day the saleable quantity of anything between 80-85,000 tons. Yeah, because you lose yield from LM to cast, cast to rolling, then rolling to bright bar, right? So on an average, I would say best case scenario, 100% utilization, theoretically assuming, you will be able to sell 85,000 tons. So what we see as realistically achievable production of a finished product, saleable finished product from this plant is about 80,000 tons.
And that's on bars, right, sir? And pipes is different.
It's on the bars. Yeah, you're right. Now, pipes, we can go, theoretically speaking, the capacity, if we talk of, you know, one particular heavy size and only hot finished, we can go up to 18,000 tons also, right? So you should know that theoretical number. But again, you know, practically, you cannot sell one size the whole year, right? So when it comes to a mix of size changes and all that time you take into account, the best, I would say, reachable, saleable capacity is 12,000 tons a year. And, from out of that 12,000 tons, what we are aspiring to reach over next 2 to 3 years' time is 10,000 tons.
Okay, understood. So my larger question was, see, we are at 23% capacity utilization on bars, right? And maybe 40-odd% capacity utilization, if I assume 12,000 ton of capacity on pipes, right? So you explained how this capacity utilization will go up, right?
So if we take, as I was telling, that if we take 80,000 tons as the practical capacity, of you know, of bars. The production that happened last year and you know, was close to 28,000 tons. So 28,000 tons over, because you see, whatever we utilize in our pipe plant as captive also is produced from the same plant, right?
Right,
so
35%.
Yeah, so 20, on the black bar stage, it's about 28, so make the maths, how much? 35%, 40% utilization, okay. 35-40 in between, right? And yeah, so from here we have to reach to about 80%, 85%, and which is a journey. So which will happen over next 2 to 3 years' time. But again, you know, in a meaningful manner. See, you can imagine in any steel plant when the capacity utilization is this, you know, at this level, your numbers would be, you know, really not conducive. Whereas since our focus is only on value add and we are not getting into the, you know, that low end and competing with the smaller mills, that is where, you know, we are maintaining our margins and we want to move in the same manner and not to dilute our attention to low value.
Sure. So my larger question was that we understand how you want to move in terms of capacity utilization. Can you also help us understand over the next 3 years, say, how will this mix of product that we are selling will change, right? From, let's say, the mix between extrusion and the other kind of pipes, right, in some sense, and also in terms of other value-add product, right? So there are two levers on the sales number that we report, right? One is the overall capacity improvement, and then that mix improvement is also there. So can you just elaborate a little bit on the second part, right?
That is the question, Prolin. See, one thing is very, very clear that till such time the utilization doesn't reach to an optimum level, the mix will not get enriched. You know, I'll be very honest and, you know, candid about that. See, when you are going to book more and more business to utilize the capacity, the mix will ideally remain the same what it is now, right? It is only when we start to hit 70,000, 75,000 tons of sales, then we become, you know, pick and choose. That, okay, within the given value mix, also I don't want this business, I want that business, right? So, which will happen once we start hitting that capacity utilization. So, I think over next 3 years, we will see more and more, but one thing will definitely happen. You see, overall, I would say the margins are low at this point in time because of the market situation, okay? So, for example, 2 years back, you know, the pricing was almost 30% higher for the same product, you know, that is existing today, right? Whereas the cost of production was perhaps, you know, 20% or 22% higher. So the margin difference between 2 years back to now is clearly visible, and in every, you know, every company's balance sheet also. So what we see from here is, on one side, the utilization will improve. Product mix given the same, similar, not same, similar. And, you know, with the markets slowly returning into normalcy, you know, your general margins should start improving.
Point taken, sir. Thank you so much. And last question would be on margins, right? While you alluded, right, that there is a demand slowdown, the prices are lower, right, in some
yes.
sense, and especially for us, we are sitting at a very low capacity utilization as well, right? But if you look at, let's say, one of the leaders in your segment, right, which is Ratnamani, they have been very stable on EBITDA per ton basis for very many years, right? And mm-hmm. that kind of fluctuation would have come, you know, in the last 10-year, 15-year cycle as well, right? So I wanted to understand, sir, what are we doing to probably, you know, bring that stability in a range, right, in some sense of EBITDA per ton, right, in some sense, apart from some of the things which you have already mentioned, is that our aspiration that we should reach, that when we reach a 60-70% capacity utilization, our margin should be very, very stable in the range of, let's say, you know, 2,000-3,000 per ton here and there. Is that something which is a, like a KRA for you and the top management, and how do we reach that stage where, you know, we are very in a way, not directly correlated to whatever happened in the commodity price fluctuation.
So, Prolin, I'll a bit of a correction here. First of all, we are comparing apple to orange. What I was mentioning or talking about was the steel side of it, right? And the steel dynamics are very different from the seamless pipe dynamics, right? If we talk of pipe dynamics, on a 10,000, let's say we are at a 50% utilization, you know, the peak capacity that we can go. And even at a 50% utilization, our margins, contribution margins on pipe is consistent, very, very consistent over the last 2 years. And from here also, I don't see, you know, any dent coming into the pipe side of it. So, if you compare not just Ratnamani or any other, you know, player, it's a similar market, you know, that we are all operating in. Okay. We compete for the same business. I mean, most of the extrusion mills, they compete for the same business. They end up booking, you know, at a bit of a plus minus, whatever. So I think that is a clear, you know, comparable apple to apple on the pipe side of it, but not on the steel side. I hope I've been able to clarify.
Yeah, that's clear. You're correct that I was not probably comparing, but just the general point, right, in terms of per ton EBITDA improvement, right, in terms of that story will continue from here on, and you know, let's say in the bars as well, right, pipes. Already we are there is what I understand, right, from your comments. But yeah, on bars also, we will continue to see that improvement in margin just because of the capacity utilization and improvement in mix, so to say?
Of course, it has to happen, Prolin. See, in a downfall market, in last 2 years, we have only seen price erosion. And you can understand what happens in this scenario, that not only your margin squeeze, you also get... you know, some stock loss also, because you can never be on a zero stock basis, right? So right, everything gets accumulated at a, you know, at the same time. So in, over last 2 years, this has been like a slow poison, you know, on the pricing. From a, I mean, just for the number, I can tell you, 2 years back, average base grade of stainless steel was selling into Europe at, you know, 3,300 euros per ton, and which has eroded to less than 2,200 now. Okay, so in this scenario, obviously, you know, the margins tend to, you know, sort of get squeezed, and also you get stock losses. And that is why I am saying that here on, you know, as the markets come to normalcy and which are already sitting at the bottom of the curve. So with our utilization improving, markets normalizing, you know, all this will go into our favor.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. All the very best.
Thanks. Thanks, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garji from Value Investment. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you again for the opportunity. Sir, my question was that in terms of new education, you have spoken about boiler tubes for power, Super 13, for aerospace, etc. So with these certifications and the current capacity, execution, you're expecting full utilization by in the next 3 years. And also you spoke about your only focus will be high value added production. So is it fair to assume that the EBITDA from the current range of 30 crores, wherein we are at the bottom of the cycle, can reach 200 crores within the next 3 years with the current capacity?
You are, I mean, honestly, not on the lighter side. Huh? Very seriously, I can tell you in 3 years' time, that's a huge underestimation of capability. So,
underestimation.
We're talking of annual, right? Annual number.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that's a very, very underestimation. I believe, you know, we will be much, 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 much better than that.
I would be very happy if my estimates are very...
No, it's a simple maths. It's a simple maths. Even if I don't, you know, consider qualitative improvements that are, you know, going to be our coming our way, you know, the simple maths also will probably, you know, sum to a much more respectable number. And that, which is why, you know, we are all working towards it, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So second is that could you give us the breakup of order book between bars and pipes, the current order book in terms of volume, and the execution timeline for that?
Well, in general, I can tell you that, first of all, order book keeps on going up and down. I would not have the number this morning. On the whole, as I was telling in my last call also, that, you know, 4 months order book is considered in this kind of a business to be very, very healthy, right? So on the pipe side, I can tell you that we are very healthy. We are looking at, I mean, since this one order itself is known in the market, and plus there are obviously more volumes to it, and that is how on the pipe we are probably working at about 5 months of an order book, or 6 months. On the bars, yes, there is, you know, a little tepid demand, and that is why the order book, normally we have been operating in the past also at about 1.5 to 2 months, and which still remains to be the case. So, you know, our effort, or the effort of the team, is, you know, certainly increase it to 3 months as a first milestone, but again in a meaningful manner. But I am sure, you know, very, very hopeful that, you know, this year we'll see all this getting happened.
Okay, sir. So next and the final question.
Sorry to interrupt, Ms. Garji. Due to time constraint,
yes, sir, I'll come back.
We take this as the last question.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sadil Bawa for closing comments.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thanks for joining. And as usual, I'll request Anuj to give his final, you know, comments on the closing. And thank everyone.
Considering the challenging external environment and overall long-term strategy of the company, we continue to chase value first over the volumes. And as I mentioned about this in various ways, that said, we are gradually increasing and will continue to increase the capacity utilization in a meaningful manner. Our focus remains on improving and enhancing operational performance and efficiency, continue to address challenging customer needs and endeavor to be the first or the early movers, expand customer base both in existing markets as well as new geographies. And in order to achieve these objectives, we continue to work on people policies, team development and trainings, technological and process upgradations, debottlenecking of certain processes, continuous research and development with respect to new products, continuous upgradation of quality management systems and new accreditations, etc. So I hope to have addressed your queries satisfactorily. Should you have any pertinent queries, and I could see that, you know, some of you participants also had further questions, which I, you know, welcome you to reach out to our investor relation team. Thank you once again for joining us, and I look forward to reconnecting with all of you soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.